We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today.
You're the Joker, the expert, the voice, but you're one of the crowd. A vision of weakness, you're dull, but your voice is so loud. I'm the butt of your joke, cause I draw more girls you hang round. You kill to make your imprints on my soul.
Good evening. Welcome to NUFC Matters with me, Steve Breath. It's the Fans Forum with George, Chippers, Kev, Spenny, Darren and Barry. Potentially the roving reporter, Ian, although 3 pints in at 4 o'clock. I doubt we'll see him tonight, but you never know. You never know. Welcome to Lee as well. He's here as well. Just dipped out with his internet. But big night tonight. Newcastle taking on Chelsea in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge. Hoping to open that points gap up by another 3 points. Take it to 7 points. Obviously, Chelsea will have a game in hand. Already played them, of course, twice in this calendar year, this football year. Once, of course, at Atlanta, a 1-1 draw. Miggy Almiron getting the draw in the pre-season friendly. And then we played them in the Carabao Cup, of course, at Stamford Bridge. That was a 1-1 draw as well. After extra time, we knocked out on penalties. We did beat them at home. And that really sets up this nicely because Newcastle could go on to do a double against Chelsea. But they'll have to beat the hoodoo, which is Stamford Bridge. Not a happy hunting ground for Newcastle at all. So let's hope that Newcastle have got enough in their locker tonight to dispatch the pensioners at their home ground. But we'll start talking about that now. George, big game this for me. I think if we can win tonight and then win in our next Premier League game, which of course is West Ham at home, I think that puts us in really good stead for European qualification. I think if we lose tonight, it's not over, but I think there's a lot of teams around there who are all finding form. Wolves, Brighton, West Ham. And of course, if we get beaten tonight off Chelsea, you know, Chelsea will only be, you know, a point behind us with a game in hand. It's starting to look, you know, chances of European qualification start to look a little bit darker.
Well, yeah. We'll face the last home game with trepidation because Wolves are playing out of their skin. They hadn't lost in God knows how many away matches. It was nearly double figures. And yet we dispatched them without any problem at all. For me, it's always, in the current climate, it's which Newcastle United turns up. If the Newcastle United had played on Saturday, it turns up, we've got no trouble with Chelsea, that's for sure. But your analysis is spot on. We're in that phase where every win takes with that much further forward to the opens every possibility, and every loss takes it further away. Absolutely. The Carabao Cup thing gets up your nose as well, because that's a game we should have won. Shouldn't have gone to penalties. Should never have gone to penalties. You know, ample opportunity to win that game, and we didn't take it. So, don't want another one of them. There's no reason why we shouldn't put it away tonight, and that'll set we're fine for the next game, because I can't see West Ham beating we here. The run-in after that is pretty good. There's no question, apart from the hiatus of the Manchester City Cup tie and all that. The way lads are coming back into the squad now, that the bench is looking stronger, is how I would phrase that, which is something that we just haven't had. The bench has been really, really, really weak. It's I mean, at one time it was three goalkeepers and two kids, wasn't it? It looked awful. But now at least we've got people on the bench who can go on and do a job, and that's got to be positive. So for me, yeah, you're absolutely right. A win tonight, and that kind of puts the season back on track. A loss doesn't kill it, but it certainly makes we have to fight that bit harder. So I'm positive that we can get a result tonight.
Yeah, okay. It's Chippers, over to you. I mean, it's a must win game for me. This is a proverbial 6-pointer, and I'm laughing at Darren's name on his Darren. We've got 40 points. I mean, once upon a time that was the aim, Chippers. That was the aim for us to get to 40 points and stay in the division. But our ambitions are a lot higher than that now. And you know, win tonight, Europe looks a lot closer.
I'm quite confident about winning tonight, I must be honest. I don't want to get big-headed or anything, but I think they sound like they're in a bit of turmoil again. I mean, apparently some of their players want Mourinho as manager. They don't want Pochettino in. That seems to me as, you know, the fancy it. The crucial thing for us now is we've got legs in midfield, which we haven't had since Joe Linton got injured. Legs of Willock, who's literally like a Duracell bunny who just doesn't stop running. We've got Anderson that can come on as well, who's got legs. And, you know, that's going to be the crucial part. Area of the pitch for me tonight, that centre midfield role, where we can let Bruno do his thing, and Willock, and hopefully Longstaff's on it tonight, because he needs to be. He can't be off it, because he's been off the last few games. That's the crucial area for me. If we win the midfield battle, we win the game. Isak up against Thiago Silva, I'm sorry, but I can only see Isak walking past him. He's 40-year-old, for crying out loud. I'd be worried if he couldn't get past him. Anthony Gordon as well is on form. I would like to think him and De Sazzi will be a good match, because he's been pretty good going forward, De Sazzi, but let's see what he's like defensively. I do think the worst one for the cup game of going out there, bearing in mind Casido should have been sent off early on for a shocking tackle on Gordon, which went pretty much unpunished, which was shocking. So I'm quite confident about tonight. I think everything seems to me is that we'll win tonight, and tomorrow morning you'll see them all crying for Mourinho to come back. And that's what I've got written down as, is we'll go there and win. And all of them tomorrow will be talking about, oh, is it the end for Poch? Is it the end for this? Rather than, oh, Newcastle have gone and done a double over Chelsea for the first time, was it 37 years? Well, you know, I think it was 1987 was the last one, so... I'm very confident. I don't want to blow anyone's trumpet, but I don't see why we can't go there and we beat them 4-1 at home. I can't see why we can't go there and score two or three goals tonight, personally.
North BF factor tonight, Kev, would you say? I mean, Newcastle have done the business against Chelsea. We've also played down there this season. We, you know, had it not been for that Kieran Trippier error in the Carabao Cup, you know, we would have been through the quarterfinals for a game against Borough. But, you know, it is what it is. It's happened now. We'll put that in the past. But nothing to fear going to Stamford Bridge, Kev.
No, I think the proverbial monkey's off the back. Essentially, we can't go and play with fear down there anymore. I know it's, what, 2010, 11 or 2012, last time we won, I think I've seen us somewhere. It's been a while. So, again... like Kip said, like they've not always won, they all themselves want to get a victory. And we really push to get into seventh, because if we win, we'll go time and we'll just sit in behind Man United. Granted, there's some points difference there, but still, it's applying the pressure that we were the chase last year, now we're the chasers. And let's see what, again, now, like I've said for weeks, what they say we'll get whacked tonight, then you just play your season out, show up and do your job, and pretty much down tools until the pre-season again, and we'll start all over again. So again, it's for me, I think it was Chippers, the centre midfield is the key area for me. The legs, the energy that we'll have. I think I watched a little bit of Chelsea this past weekend, and they weren't that great, to be honest. It was quite methodical. It's quite Pochettino. Yes, they've got a lot of young youth. They've got a lot of, so their inconsistencies across the board, you know, are their detriment. Yes, you've got Thiago Silva. Yes, you've got other probably experienced players and Sterling and this and that. But I think if we go with the mentality and attitude, again, what I've been saying for a while, and really take it to Chelsea like Liverpool did to Man City yesterday and really give it a go, I think we'll get, if we do that, I know we will get something out of the game.
Okay, Lee, it's, it is a big game, this, and I've been down to Chelsea the last couple of seasons, and the fear factor's gone. They've spent £1 billion, and they're a team of individuals. They're not a team of players. You know, they don't play well together. They managed to put a little bit of a run together, but there also seems to be a lot of negativity surrounding Pochettino from the fans. You know, the fans don't seem keen on Pochettino.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever going to fit in. I mean, unless he come in and literally blew the place apart, I don't think he was ever going to get accepted being ex-Tottenham. But I think tonight, if we defend like we did against Wolves, I mean, we all know we can score goals going forward, but if we defend like we did against Wolves, I don't see it like exactly the same as what the lads have said. There's no reason why we can't come away from Chelsea with a result. I mean, if you look at the games we've got left as well, it's almost like two mini-seasons. So, you know, we've got 10 or 11 left. So you've got your Chelsea, Everton, Tottenham, Man U, which are obviously the tough ones. And then the back end is like Sheffield, Burnley, Brighton, Brentford. So the next three, four games are going to be crucial. And it starts with tonight, really. I mean, if we get a positive result tonight, I think we'll snowball on to get decent results. The only one that worries me for some reason is Man United away. And I don't know why. I've just got to worry about that. But I think tonight we'll probably, well, I say probably, hopefully, if we defend like we did, we'll come away with a slender result, I'd say. It's only going to be 1-0, 2-1, something like that.
Okay, Spenny, it's great to see Newcastle still, you know, despite all the injuries they've had, you know, even being in the running for Europe, but hitting 40 points was key, back in the day. But we are aiming for a lot higher than that. So, the players will feel the pressure about tonight's game, I think.
I don't think they're under pressure at all, Steve. You know what I mean? For me, we're just chasing the ones that's above us, really. But like you said, Chelsea are like a jackal and Hyde side, and so are we sometimes as well. So it's Benzo who's turning up. Chelsea's been all right. They're good against Liverpool and Man City. They were pretty unlucky as well. But for me, it's 11 games back left. It's 10 left. It's 5 home games. I can see he's going for the 18 points. If we get the 18 points, it'll be a bigger achievement than last season with the amount of injuries we've had. We'll be getting Europe being placed for me. Definitely. The way we've been playing this season and the amount of players we've had out this season, I think it's the biggest achievement in getting in the Champions League. You'll be getting Europe this season, the way we've played. For me, I can see us win. We can win easy. The defence is all over the place. And Chelsea fans thinking of getting rid of Posh, that'd be the best manager they'll ever get for me in the way they're going on. But it's typical Chelsea, you get rid of a top manager every season, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, okay. 40 points then, Daz, you're celebrating.
Yeah. I am. Yeah, I kind of agree with Spenny with the first day ever in a long time. We've got nothing to be, there's no pressure tonight. Can't enjoy it. We've got nothing to lose. Can't take the game to Chelsea. But I do think it'll be a draw, 1-1. Or possibly 2-1 win. I'll be buzzing with. But I do think it might be 1-1. Just go out there and have a good time. We need pressure on us. The pressure on Chelsea, if anything. So they've got the more pressure on. Like if we turn up and give our how we know we can play, good luck to them. And like say as soon as if we score, their crowd will change and they'll be going potch out and all that, singing all that. They'll be worried. Just we've got I think we've got some. We owe them something too after the cup game. So a bit of revenge in mind. So just go enjoy it and just take the game to them. We're not under pressure, Lydia, I don't think.
I think Conor Gallagher's out as well, Steve, isn't he? So
yeah, they've got a few missing. I mean, it's always a bit dodgy, you know, relying on stuff from press conferences, as we know with Eddie. You know, I mean, you know, he had a virus, Conor Gallagher. You know, that way well have passed. So
still well out, the left back. He's out, isn't he, Ronnie?
Yeah, there's about 7 or 8 players who could be out, but you tend to find as well when teams aren't playing well or when they're underachieving and the end of the season's in sight that a few of them get the flip-flops on and, you know, those little niggles turn into something a little bit more serious. But, you know, there are a few people missing. But we'll just have to wait and see when the teams are announced just before we end the programme. But, Barry, how do you see this game going tonight? What's your feelings on what the lads have said?
I agree with most of the lads. I think I've got a good feeling about tonight. I mean, when we went down to Old Trafford and obviously people were quoting all the previous results against them, saying we haven't won there since 1987 or whatever it was. Nobody gave us a cat and else chance and we turned them over. We completely destroyed them. Records are there for one reason, to be broken. They only last for a certain amount of time. I mean, everybody remembers the hoodoo that we had in London where we couldn't win a game for Toffee, and yet we go down there now without any worries in the world. Chelsea, I would have said they're a top 10 side at best at the minute. The way they're playing, I think they're there for the taking, Steve. I think we've got plenty of players coming back who want to prove something. Howe's obviously given them a good kick up the arse, the way they played against Wolves after the previous results. So hopefully that'll keep it going. And I don't know about anybody else. I was watching the NUFC TV bit where they were playing scale extracts at the training ground. And the camaraderie and the banter between them, and I know that might have been filmed a while ago, but it just showed element of fun's back in amongst them. I haven't seen any of that for ages. And it was really good to watch them taking the pee out each other. Poor your mate Matt Ritchie got so much stick, it was unbelievable, but it was nice to see. It gave you that hope that obviously the team spirits is coming back to them a bit.
I'll tell you what, mate. These things, when they come out with these things, we haven't won this ground, we haven't won that ground for many years. They never say when they're playing up here what the team's done in so many years, the likes of Arsenal and Man United. They haven't won for a long time up here. You know what I mean?
My only worry.
All in the mind.
My only worry is Carl Wilson got injured playing scale extract.
Hey, there was a couple of bad crashes. I know that much. I was looking for injuries after a couple of the turns, especially with Isaac.
there was so competitive on the two. Isaac and Crocker is just so competitive. I think they were doing one. It was funny to watch.
Well, that's what that.
If we put surely, together surely that NUFC Matt is challenge mind, I think we could take them.
What's the saying though? Like the bad times we've had brings the team closer, and you like to think the injuries and things like that may have brought them all a lot closer and got to know them a bit more and hopefully you bonded them better, because sometimes you don't get that when they're all fit. So it might all these injuries might turn out for the best in the long term.
Backs against the walls, that's sometimes the way that Newcastle tend to perform best, you know. I mean, we did that under Rafa. When the chips were down, Newcastle really stood up and were counted. And we seem to have a similar kind of mentality with this team, which is great. Yeah, it is. Richie is getting paid to be the games master, Ian. Table football, scale electrics, what next? The beauty, you never know. Spenny mentioned this before we came on air. I just heard him as I was getting ready for the show, and changing the new rules with the introduction of squad cost control, the ratio of player wages, transfers and agent fees being limited to 70% of revenue and profit on player sales 85%. There's been lots of talk this morning and this afternoon, Spenny, about Premier League meetings, etc. What have you read? I haven't been watching the news and that today. So what's the story, Spenny?
I've just half an hour ago, Sky Sports came on, so I don't know much about it. I've just read the UEFA rules, what they're supposed to be abiding by, and they're giving them a breakdown. Like, if you make a £420 million profit, you'll be able to spend £320 million on players. It's like that sort of thing. And it's a base of 85% of your wages. It's gone up, like, if you're paying 85% of your profits or, like, your income on players, that's gone up to 85%. It was 70%.
Yeah. And David McLeod, David McLeod says new FFP rules not worth a fart unless they include club debt. But wow, yeah, that was yes. That was it's the announcement, George. That was the announcement that I put
one.
Up.
It's a big one.
What do you think?
Well, the fans elsewhere are now looking like we have been looking for the last 2 years, that they're realizing it isn't just the Geordies up the northeast that's got a whinge. It affects everybody. And how is it the top six, as they call them, have got debts of over £1 billion each? If the banks pulled on Spurs, the bloody ground would fall down.
Yep.
If the banks pulled on Manchester United and the Glazers, Old Trafford would fall down. Same with Arsenal. If Kroenke's money went out the window, Emirates would fall down. We're not in that position. And lots of other clubs that are worse off in terms of the revenue they've got wouldn't be in that position either. So, you know, if I was a fan of one of the clubs that's getting kicked to death at the minute, particularly Everton, Nottingham Forest, Leicester now into the three, Aston Villa wetting themselves because they don't know what's coming to them, I'd be knocking on the door and saying, hey, okay, let's match the debt and all. Let's see how we compare with how we're faring and the debt stakes as well. Because it's obscene. £1 billion in debt. I mean, Manchester United fans think that Ratcliffe solved all their problems. He hasn't. He's only scratched the surface. And he's got about 30% of the debt that the Glazers own. That's all he's paid for. And apparently the next group of shares he buys, having paid what he thought he was going to pay 30 quid a share for, they're already only worth 15 quid a share. So he's already lot of money. And even billionaires get to the bottom. That's why he's scrambling around trying to get government money to build a new Old Trafford or a Wembley of the North, as he calls it. That's what it's about. He hasn't got any more money to put into it. So yes, the fans that are saying let's include debt have got a very good point in my view.
Well, also was brought up at the meeting as well about Football League clubs, how much money they're going to be getting in revenue from the Premier League. And the vote wasn't even cast because they're wanting £500 million to buy the Football League, which the Premier League clubs will pay to Football League clubs. It wasn't even a vote because they didn't even want to discuss that because you're already getting £320 million a season at the moment. Over 5 years.
Well, okay. That's typically short-sighted of football. Mm. Everybody wants to join in and join together till it comes to their club. And then it's me, once it's your club. And they're short-sighted if they're not supporting the championship clubs in the Football League further down. Where does the future players come from?
Exactly.
You know who's going to groom all these players if those clubs don't? I mean, I think, in fact, I'd go further. I'd want to see that fund go down into the fifth tier, into the leagues that people like Gateshead and that are in, so that they don't have to scramble around as well. It's the future of our game, and they seem very, very short-sighted. Very short-sighted.
I'm a big believer in grassroots football, and always have been.
Yeah,
where you get your players.
Yeah,
I think they were looking at you know, the parachute payments as well. I think they're trying to reduce them, aren't they? Going down.
Last season, wasn't it?
Yeah, again, rubbing their hands or washing their hands of any kind of funding. But yeah, it's all corrupt shite, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's only there to protect the top six, as we know. So the big get bigger, and that's why they're going after all the Nearly boys. You know, your Villas, your Evertons. Yeah, they just don't want the competition.
Yeah,
you know, on a fair playing field, do they?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, hopefully these sponsorships come in for Newcastle and we get the revenue up.
Yeah,
like you said, like we didn't buy anybody in January for that reason only, so we could look financial better in the summer to spend money on players. I think this stadium is just a matter of time, the new stadium for me.
It's going to bring
revenue in, isn't it? Mm.
Do you reckon they'll redevelop or move?
They'll move because that's where the money is going to be in revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chippers, what's your thoughts on what you've heard, Chippers?
It only works if it applies to all 20 teams in the league, and it's not just applies to certain teams. Yeah. And, you know, if it's got to work for everyone, you can't just have it for 14 teams, let the big six do what they want. Then if people break the punishment, then they'll get the same punishment rather than two clubs last season who break FFP get a £7 million fine, and then the one that breaks it this season gets a points deduction. It only works if everybody abides by it and that everybody's agreed to it. And then if the break at the same punishment gets applied, so we'll just, the proof's in the pun, we'll just have to see it when it happens, because we all know actions speak louder than words, and they can say what they want, but then it'll only come down to it if somebody breaks it, or when it happens. Is it next season is it starting, or is it the end of this summer when it starts straight away?
June.
Well, that's when we'll know if it works, because I can't see it lasting. Someone will break it. One of the big six will break it as per, and they'll get away with it. But just have to wait and see when it happens.
It is very much a case of wait and see. Barry, thoughts?
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because the big push for us is to get as much sponsorship as we can in. I know Mitch and you guys talked about it last night, saying, why don't we have a Aramco at St. James's Park? And you think, I would snap the hands off if they were going to give us 200 million a season to have that as the name. I would be quite happy with that, because unfortunately, that's probably the only way we're going to get close to some of these so-called big six. I mean, I found it horrendous when I was reading the story about Man United's so-called Sir Jim transfer targets for the summer. They're going to spend 200 million on two players. So they're going to sign some Portuguese wonder kid, and they're going to big money on another star. But then on the other story, you've got them begging for public money to build them a new stadium. And you think, hang on, surely you can't have 200 million on new players. And then,
well, and the thing that gets in my sticks in my throat with that is, it's a bloody man that doesn't pay any tax. He's a billionaire. He doesn't pay a penny tax in here in this country. And yet he wants the public to build his new stadium.
Well, there was actually a statement, George, that said he deliberately moved to Monaco because it saves him $4 billion a year in taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just how on earth he has the nerve. And I know it's Man United, so it's probably what you expect, but the nerve to come and ask for public money when he doesn't pay out.
He probably has a best mate in Parliament, pal, or in the government. So.
Well, you just need to look who he's got on his working committee. The chairman's bloody core, who's as right wing as a bloody Hitler. He's not just a Tory, he's so right wing, he's horrible. You know, good job, he's a good runner. Yeah.
Kane McGuire's message is back.
Yeah.
If Newcastle's likely to earn 300 million in 2023-24, so the cap would be 210 million.
Yeah. So
that'll be plenty enough for us.
Yeah.
But the lads are right. They're messing about with the thing. Football's a simple game, and it's even simpler if you play it by the rules, where everybody's the same. They're even messing about with the bloody FA Cup. Half the games have got VAR in, and half the games haven't. Well, that's rubbish. The FA Cup idea was, if you're playing on the park pitch down in Wall's End or Heaton or wherever at the start of the qualifiers, your game's entitled to be treated the same as the game that's played at St. James's Park. And they're messing about with it all. It's just the administrators need a kick up the backside. Get rid of some of the masters out of it as well.
Yeah.
Yep. It was refreshing to watch the two games without VAR, to be honest, George.
Yes, it was. You're right, Barry.
Kev, what's your thoughts on the potential financial changes? I mean, it doesn't sound, from what the lads are saying, as if it's going to make a great deal of difference. It's certainly not making it a level of playing field yet.
Well, I'll come at from a different slant based on where I live. And what I can see being introduced, and Spenny even used the word himself, and that's capped. So you can see with all the influence, I've looked up salary. I know what salary cap is, but again, it's basically the a rule which that is written out of contract or otherwise legally stated that places a limit on how much an employee can earn. So therefore, they're going to cap salaries to then therefore the windfall of the Premier League, which is the NFL or the NHL or the NBA, then they may have the money as a team from the actual league itself to each individual team. And that's the only amount of money you can spend. So you have to move players around. Players are guaranteed money in certain sports and for your contract lengths and things like that. It gets complicated. But the only thing is, for me, it'd be the salary capping. And that's the sad part of it. And just going back, I was in and out. But yeah, over here, we have, you know, US soccer, which is pretty much a cash cow, like the FA, you know, trying to drag money in from everybody's coaches, from players to every clubs, youth clubs, whatever. But there's no trickle-down effect from that. There's no distribution of money to where the next generation of football comes from. Even in terms of facilities, I mean, I haven't worked for 10 days based on just rain. We haven't got no facilities. It's just grass or that's it. So we have to subsidize and pay out of, not out of my pocket, but who I work for pocket, but there's no funding from a higher level down. And I think that's how it is from, it looks like from the Premier League and the FA, you know, Championship, even down to Gateshead, even further into the local grassroots game. You need to have a provision for money, even a government subsidy or whatever that looks like. I know there's chartered standards and things like that for football clubs where you have to adhere to. But if you have, even if it's 100 grand for a youth football club, that's a lot of money. They could do a lot of stuff with that. That could last them for years. That could last them decades if they use it right. But again, that's just my thing. I had a big rant about it with my missus and another lad who I was talking to, with coaching on Saturday, because again, there's just no funding. There's just no money coming into the youth game, even though the players who are coached pay for it. And I get paid, which I'm thankful for, but there's no, that's it. Because it's non-profit. We're a non-profit organization, so we can't deem to be making any money from anybody. So it's all got to be distributed within the local community and all the rest of that crap. So, yeah, I can just say going down the salary cap road, I can just say going down and sort of say, hey, this is a blanket money.
Kevin, I think Bosnan put the tin hat on salary caps in Europe. That's what Bosnan was all about.
Right, well, your ratio to wages, that's basically saying you know you've got 85% of whatever it is. I haven't read the articles, I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So that's basically saying you've got 85% of what you're pulling in to pay in your structure within the club for wages. Yeah. That's what you can allow to spend. So then clubs will be forced to cap salaries. We're not paying 150 grand a week for X or whatever it is. So they're going to have to be now even more restrictive to what they can actually pay players. So again, it becomes elitist in terms of the big six, the Chelsea's, because they've got a greater turnover to wages ratio. Who does that? That's disadvantage. That's anti-competition. You know, we it's not a level playing field. Just like what George, you said, the FA Cup, it's not a level playing field. Yeah. If it was down at wherever, West Lotman and on an FA Cup preliminary round, it should be the same all the way through the FA Cup to the final with no VAR. Or if you've got it, you've got it. There's got to be some, you know, it's very elitist now. It's very going into the elitist, and it's taken away from natural part of the game. And we grew up all playing and watching and love.
Mm. Okay, interesting stuff.
Coaches ran over. I'm sorry.
No, it's what it's all about, the fans forum. Yeah, Lee, I mean, it just gets frustrating, doesn't it? Because, I mean, we've come into the, you know, come into this banner now of being a top team rather than fighting relegation. And it's just appeared really that, you know, all of the rules have been set to stop Newcastle's to take over or anybody else threatening that top six. And, you know, whenever we hear that there's going to be a rule change, then we tend to fear the worst. I guess in the positives, this one looks slightly better than it could have been for us anyway. You know, it means, you know, but it's still a million miles away from a level playing field.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think it's just a shame that these guys weren't around for us 5-10 years ago. But having said that, football evolves, you know, so they've obviously had the experiments of Chelsea and Man City and obviously have, you know, been protected by a hell of a lot of money. But I don't know. I mean, the worrying part is, let's say our owners leave tomorrow. At least we're not going to be in any kind of dire straits. Teams like Man City and Chelsea, when their owners are going to leave, if they leave, they could possibly in a world of pain. So we're at like the kind of the changing pivotal point of football. But yeah, it does feel like that sometimes as a Newcastle fan that is brought in against us. But I think in real terms, it's just to protect what they've got already. And obviously, at some point, there is money filtering in somewhere where they feel the need to protect them.
Okay. It is. Spenny, we started with you. So I'm just going to get Daz's opinion before we go to the ads. Yeah, Daz, I mean, the financial situation with Newcastle has been frustrating. I mean, we're hoping that we're going to have a good window in the summer. And maybe this will, you know, maybe loosen the purse strings a little bit more.
Yeah, like, it's here, like, we need, hopefully get some few sponsors. You've got the Adidas sponsors coming through in the summer. And Spenny's, like, explaining how it works. So I wasn't too clued up about it till Spenny's explained it. So it's kind of a good thing. So, like, we'll spend a bit more money. But I don't know. It's always going to be the same for clubs like that. Like, it's about spending and getting money in. Then they might want to change the rules again if it's not working. So watch your space. That's what I say.
Okay, we are halfway through the show. This is the Fans Forum on NUFC Matters, and this is the ads. A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Go to their website, skipsandbins.com. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com or telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Easy contract free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Go to their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Email info at mrvickys.co.uk or telephone 01768 210 102. Thanks to United Group Travel. Go to their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email info at unitedgrouptravel.com or phone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. They're a local company from Morpeth and there are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Big thanks to Media Arts for all the help with the video side of things. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, hit the subscribe button under the video. Click the thumb up to like the video and click share to share to your social media. If you want to help the channel financially, you can pay a one-off £25 fee. You get a cup, a scarf, a pen and a membership card and entry into the NUFC Matters monthly draw. Email john at nufcmatters.com for more details. Or if you've got a smartphone, scan the QR code now and it takes you straight to the membership pack. We also support the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you'll find the matchday bucket. You can make a donation virtually today. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast providers. We also do events during the year. NUFC Matters Live will be at the O2 City Hall on Friday the 2nd of August for an evening with Rob Lee, One Night in Antwerp. Tickets start at £15 and you can get them from Ticketmaster.co.uk. An evening with the entertainers takes place on Friday the 24th of January 2025 at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle. Telephone 0844 249 1000 or visit the website tynetheatreandoperahouse.uk to buy tickets today. You can also catch me on the Northeast Footy Breakfast Show live on Toon Radio weekdays 7 till 9am on DAB, smart speakers and the toonuk.com. And don't forget the end of season due, 20th of July is on at the Tyneside Irish Centre in aid of Dementia Matters. We've got Super Matt and Gibbo, Ask George and the Long Sands acoustic set. Get yourself onto nufcmatters.com or newcastlelegends.com and buy tickets for a tenner. All proceeds go to Dementia Matters. And Peter Beardsley will be at the Irish Centre in June. Tickets from newcastlelegends.com or from Woucher and well worth going to that. Always a cracking event with Peter Beardsley. Okay, time is ticking towards the announcement of the team. We might just stay on just to pick up the team at 7 o'clock. We've already spoken about the game, but players coming back in, George. It's a positive place again, Newcastle, after a season of discontent with the injuries. Matt Target, we're hearing potentially could be, certainly he's part of the squad, maybe part of it tonight, which is great. That's another man back. We've already spoken about Joe Willock and how big a difference that been. We're really just looking at the two long-term ones. Callum Wilson, obviously, you know, a big miss. You know, he'll be back, we hope, before the end of the season. Nick Pope, we know, will be back hopefully at some point this month. And Joe Linton, of course, probably out for the rest of the season, would imagine. If he comes back, it will only be for the last game or two. But things are a lot brighter on the injury side of things, and that's going to be important in the run-in, George.
Well, of course it is, because it gives Howe options that we haven't had before. As I said in my opening, there was one ridiculous game where we had three goalkeepers and two kids on the bench. No, whatever we did wasn't going to improve things, that's for sure. Well, at least when you got the likes of Anderson in the mix now. And it also does something else for me. It gives them a chance to let young Miley have a rest, or at least take a bit part rather than an entire part. You know, a bit like some of the young players that Manchester United, you know, put on. And even, I hate to say the name because it chokes me throat, Liverpool do as well. They pop in and out. They're not just thrown into the mix all the time. Where young Lewis Miley's done a shift by any stretch of the imagination, where now Howe's got the chance to use them sparingly instead of flogging them to death, which is what we've been doing. And same with some of the others that's coming back. It's it just takes the pressure off everybody and gives the those that are on the sidelines a bit of a lift as well, which I think is very important. And it puts a little bit of pressure of those that are actually playing to think, well, if I'm not up to scratch, there's somebody sitting over there who's going to come on and take me place. And that can't be bad for the team and for competition. So, yeah, I think you're right, Steve. The fact that we've got this more positive look than we've had for some time has got to be good for everybody, team, management, and the fans. So, yeah, I think when we've got people on the bench who can slot in, and some of them have got what we need at the minute, particularly in the midfield, as somebody already said, that Elliot Anderson's got a bit of pace, and look what Willock's pace did on Saturday, because that was the difference for me. The fact that he's got that extra yard, and which makes me say, if anybody from the club's watching, for God's sake, get a sprinting coach and get young Lewis Miley an extra yard, because if he gets an extra yard, he'll be a world-class player. He's a great player now. He could be a world-class player with an extra yard. So, yeah, all of that's very positive, Steve, and should be good for the for to watch as well. And you feel, we could feel less pressure because we know that somebody's coming on to make a difference, not just coming on to fill a hole, which is what we've been relying on in the last few weeks with all these injuries. So, yeah, I think that's positive, Steve.
Yeah, Chip, it makes a hell of a difference, doesn't it? You know, having these players back. You were waxing lyrical before about Alexander Isak against Thiago, but it's just having those kind of options that puts us in a different ballpark and potentially gives us that chance, whereas some of the teams around us have got European competition to worry about, you know, as well. You know, we may have a slight edge on those teams, you know, as we go into the run-in towards May.
Exactly, that's it. You know, if you look at this stage of the season, I think there's only a couple of times at the start of the season where Eddie's only had to play his strongest team. I don't think since Villa and Man City, the start of the season, I don't think he's been able to play it because of injuries, etc. You know, we've all had to see on Dan Burn this season, but, you know, with Matt Target coming back, you've got an option to play left back. You can take Dan Burn out of a team that you think might not favour him, and you can play Matt Target against a team that might favour Target, you know. That's the options that we didn't have since Joe Linton's been out till the last couple of weeks. We've only had three midfielders, and now we've got five or six now because we've got obviously Anderson back, Willicks back, you know, and it's good for Miley because a 17-year-old lad who's playing high intensity games week in, week out, it's just going to burn him out. So it's time to, you know, Eddie's doing the right thing and taking them out and bringing them on here and there and managing them. So the only worry would be again is if Isaac was to pick up an injury between now and the end of the season because we don't have that striker. I know Gordon can play as a false striker, but it's not the same. It's, you know, that's the only concern. The rest of the pitch seems to be now we've got enough cover. Obviously, with Trippier getting injured last week, we've got Livermento that can slot in there now. So it's a massive positive. Obviously, when Pope comes back, that'll be another big positive because then we've got two very capable goalkeepers. Not saying Karius isn't. I just think Dubravka and Pope are ahead of them pretty comfortably. Again, Callum Wilson, I see him out for the season. I don't see him coming back at all. And Joe Litton, I don't see him coming back either because I think he'd want to be fully recovered rather than rushing them back for anything. So it's a positive, but then, you know, we've just got to see how it goes because usually with us, we get players back and then somebody else goes on the treatment table. But touch wood now, we're playing one game a week. We're only training through the week, and that's the main thing now. There's plenty of recovery time between games as opposed to three games in 7 days, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, Chippers. You're right there. Yeah, Barry. I mean, there's just a smile. There's a smile on the squad's face. And you were talking about the Scale Electrics game, for example, and that kind of team morale is something that Eddie Howe's been very good at coaching out of the players over the last 2 years. And the fact that now he's got a training ground which is busy again is probably something that's delighting them. And there's competition for places. And I think the best thing that's developed in the course of the last 6 months is the fact that, you know, the fact that the field's been hit badly, it's brought the likes of Lewis Miley through. So, you know, now we've got even more options in the midfield, you know, whereas, you know, we were looking, oh, do we need strengthening here? The demise of Tonali and the fact that his season was taken away from him because of the whole betting scandal, you know, it gave an opportunity to Miley, especially with Anderson being injured. So There's some positives actually come from that injury list.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, I think as well, it's reinforced the, for a long time, Newcastle didn't really go to the under-23s and the youth squad. There was very few players coming through. And I think because of necessity, they've been forced to take risks on some of those players. And they've stepped up to the mark. It shows that there is quality there. Yes, we've invested a lot of money financially wise in some of the younger players that we've got now, but there's definitely players that are coming through, Steve, and I think it just looks good for the future. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? I totally agree with Chippers there. The only area that stands out to Miley is up front, and I pray like hell that we've had our fair share of us. I hate it whenever anybody mentions an injury at Newcastle at the minute because you just think, oh God, here we go. I don't even want to mention the player in particular's name because I don't want to jinx him. But we all know who he is, that he doesn't get injured between now and the end of the season because we've had our fair share. And it's great, like you say, to see Murphy potentially on the bench, Anderson on the bench, Willock coming back into the side and just adding that little bit of pace which we've been lacking. But like you say, Matt Target coming back in gives them options right there across the pitch. It's what we should have had from the start of the season. And you just think, God, how much higher up the league would we have been if we'd had all those people to choose from? But unfortunately, that's the way football works out. Sometimes you do hit those bad spells. You just have to move on. And like we said before, just get stronger and stronger for next season.
Is the player that you don't want to mention Matt Ritchie about?
Well, you know, I'm a bit concerned that Richie does pick up an injury because he'll be playing an important part.
That's what I thought.
Richie, stay in 10 more years. Daz, it's look, for me, I am a lot happier than I was a couple of weeks ago. But that's I guess the fickleness of football fans. You know, all of us can feel like that. You know, we can all be like that. We can all. 1 minute we're up, the next minute we're down, and it depends on results and it depends on injuries, and you know it is a strange situation.
It's a joy to support Newcastle United, but yeah. It's football, it's life. Yes, we get players in it, but at the end of the day, We've just got to go with the flow and what's happening and can we work around it. And we've done that all season long. So you've got to give Eddie Howe some credit because he's been limited best part, like especially November, December. He was limited. He couldn't, like you say, George said he had three goalkeepers at one point.
Yeah.
What's he meant to do? And people say, oh, Eddie Howe out. Like, it baffled me. People not know football these days, you know what I mean? Like, Eddie Howe can only do what he can do. But it's starting to come a lot better now. We're starting to get players back and a stronger bench. And yes, it put everybody in a good mood because it's light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like we had a dog patch. We had nothing going our way. We got one back, so we're getting injured. You're like, oh, it was a break. But the morale, I believe the morale has always been there. I just think we've just been so lucky with injuries this season. But I'm confident we can have a good end of the season. Wherever we finish. At the end of the day, my opinion says it's been a good season. We've learned a lot this season, and next year we've got to go again and get 4 or 5 players in and sell. Get rid of 3 or 4. But I'm happy. But I know, like, we'll all be doomed with me. You know, me personally, I've been missing negative sometimes. I'll hold your hand up. But it's football. That's what we all do. We all come in here and give our opinions, and we all support Newcastle. We just want our best for our team, don't we?
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. That's what we want. We want to see, you know, the team do the best it possibly can. And, you know, that's always where we're going to be as supporters. Kev, great to see these players coming back in. And obviously we're 10 minutes away from the team being announced tonight, but it's going to play a major part in Newcastle's running.
Absolutely. And the lads were talking, it's obviously recovery periods and recovery times, you know, 3 games in the week and periodization. I can go into all of that and how Eddie Howe plans his season out, and I think that's what he really has to look at. I mean, you're going to get injuries in football. That's just part of it. You're going to pick nickels, you're going to get knocks and pulls and whatever injuries. But we've had pretty much the most, you know, every other injury outside of a hamstring pull or even if it's a torn ACL, we've had every other one but them, which you can live with.
Yeah,
we've had dislocated shoulders, we've had broken feet, which are rare in certain, for the Harvey Barnes one. But for me, I was relatively patient with the recovery process and just let them recover when they recover. They know their own body. The players know their own body. If they're willing to go, they were willing to go. So you have to put it onto the player as well. Even the Botman injury, you know, he wanted to go again, but, you know, subject to second opinions and things like that, said, no, you have to have this time out. There's a rest and a recovery, you know, so that's the bigger overarching question that I would ask. What was that injury rehabilitation periodization looking like? And what happens if, you know, I don't think they looked at it fully. I mean, when they were here in Atlanta, I seen them do all sorts of different things and they're looking sharp. They look fresh. Obviously it's pre-season, but like Barry said, I think where would we be now if all these players were fully fit? Yes, you might get one or two here or there, but where would we be now if we were fully fit? Sorry, I've got some yard lad working outside, making a bit of a noise. I don't know what's going on. Sorry, I'm chopping a tree down or something. So that's just true. But yeah, so it's just nice to have a full bench, a strong bench. Some, again, Chipper said, with options. As a coach, you want to have options to change the game. And again, I'll go back. I'm not an Eddie Howe out or whatever. I just question his decision-making sometimes is where, if you look at, I lean on Pep a lot, and as a coach and what he does. I mean, he changes his shape more than I change my socks, you know, in terms of he played like a 3-2-4-1 yesterday, if you looked at it, but he's changing how the game's played and he's seeing certain things. I don't think Eddie Howe's there yet in terms of the players available, who we can actually put in. But if you really look at it, we did have the players available to change things. And change of shape, put certain players in certain areas where we could have probably been more successful. We talk about the midfield. Okay, well, we play 4-3-3. Well, why don't we overload the midfield? We're adding other players in there who can probably play there. But he didn't. He was stubborn. That, look, you just got, you live and die by your decisions. That's just his job. That's nature of the beast. But yeah, I think with the players coming back, whoever it is, can only benefit us for this push of 10, 11 games, whatever it is, to really, again, chase down Man United and chase down those above us and get into those European spots.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, Lee? I mean, you know, since you came back onto the podcast, how things can change. I often describe supporting Newcastle like a roller coaster ride. We go up and down and up and down, and been certainly more ups and downs in the last 2 years, though, it has to be said. And I think, you know, the fact that Daz is, you know, I keep making a point of what Daz has called himself there tonight. We've got 40 points. I mean, that used to be cause for celebration. Now, really, in the you know, in the playground we find ourselves in, that's the least you expect to finish, you know, to get 40 points. That's your priority. You should be looking to get at least another 20, you know, another 20 points, and I think we'll probably be in Europe.
Yeah, totally.
But these players coming back in, it's going to make a big difference.
Oh, massive, mate. Just a quick one. I've got a business idea. We're talking about FFP. Why don't we get Sky Electric to sponsor our stadium for 300 million quid? I'm just throwing it out there, you know.
Good idea.
Yeah, totally. I think the beauty is that Eddie Howe, for the first time in a long time, instead of having
the atmosphere would be electric, by the way.
Oh dear.
Boom. Yeah, for the first time in a long time, Eddie's got, instead of having injury headaches, he's got selection headaches, you know, and that's every manager's dream, isn't it? So instead of worrying about whether he can fill a team now, he's probably going to settle him down as well. So we can actually look at how we're going to beat teams rather than just turn up against them, is my hope. The positives from this is, yeah, we found players this year that maybe wouldn't have got a chance. But it also gives us an idea of next year. If we do get Europe, it gives us an idea of the numbers that we need, actually the numbers and where. Now, if I'm right, Kev might know more about this. I don't think you have to register under 21 players. You can have 25 players, but you don't have to register homegrown under 21 players. So hopefully, you know, we've taken heed of what's happened this year in Europe, and we've got to be putting a few more of them in because they're extra players. You know, they're free players. You know, you don't have to register them. Also, as well, a positive, can you imagine if we'd, I don't want to say this, but if we'd have stayed in Europe, imagine the shit that we'd have been facing every week, playing two times every week. So in a weird kind of way, it's a lesson. This season is a lesson.
It's a learning curve. I mean, you know, some people said you don't want to be in the Champions League. It's too early to be in the Champions League. You'd rather just be in the Europa. But we've had the experience. We've played against some brilliant, brilliant teams this year. Mm. We were so close, and we had that wonderful night against PSG. So, you know what? That we learn from that. And if we do go into the Europa next year, that's going to be exciting. But you'd like to think that because we've played at a higher standard and we've played against higher level teams, that this young team, these players that we've got, will have learned from that. So yeah, you make a valid point about that. So we're going to go into 2 minutes to go before the teams are out. So we'll get your views, Spenny, just on the on the players coming back, and I'll keep an eye off when the team comes out. What's your feeling then on, you know, the players coming back? How big an impact is that going to have on the end of our season?
It's going to be a massive impact, Steve, isn't it? Really, getting these players back, maybe four or five first team regulars, maybe on the bench every game, instead of young lads like 16, 17 year olds coming on. It's going to make a massive impact. And before the lads go around and ask them what the scores is, I've got a stat here as well. Sky Sports has just put it on. The highest scores per game in the whole since the Premier League started, Newcastle are currently second this season behind Liverpool. Wow. 3.78 goals a game.
Wow. Well, that's good. So, you see, this season we've scored more goals, but we've conceded more. And unfortunately, it came in that period of time where, you know, Trippier had a bad spell. You know, there was something going on in his personal life we don't know. And it just, you know, it was one of those situations that happened where every team goes through a bit of a blip. But the main thing that Newcastle discovered in that period where they were missing players was they discovered the scoring boots, didn't they?
Yeah, 57 goals we scored this season and we conceded 45. So that's not too bad, really, considering the injuries they had. And yeah, for me, going back to the players coming back, everybody's pulling Declan Rice, how good he's done for Arsenal and all that. It's just a shame Tonali was out for that suspension, because I could say we've been saw a massive improvement in our team we've been playing this season. But we can't go on the past, can we?
No, you can't go in the past at all. Okay, here's the starting lineup: Dubravka in goal, Livramento, Shaw, Botman, and Byrne. Byrne captaining the team tonight. And Bruno, Longstaff, Willock, Almiron, Gordon, and Isak. Good, strong team that tonight. On the bench, Karius, Lascelles, Richie, Kraft, Murphy, Anderson, White, Miley, and the return of Matt Target, who was on the bench tonight. So just again, your starting 11 tonight is Dubravka, Livramento, Shaw, Botman, and Byrne, who captains the team. Bruno, Longstaff, Willock, Almiron, Gordon, and Isak. And on the bench, Karius, Lascelles, Richie, Target, Kraft, Murphy, Anderson, White, and Miley. So, George, prediction tonight then, please.
Well, I made my prediction the other night to you, 2-1 to us.
2-1?
And I've seen nothing to change my mind.
Okay, good stuff. Chippers?
Yeah, I think the same. It's the team pretty much I thought he would play due to the Trippier going out, Livramento in, one change basically. So, and there Miggy for Murphy. So yeah, I think we'll win 2-1. I was going to say actually no Barnes in the squad.
No Barnes in the squad. Yeah, we'll find out in due course what's the matter with him. But clearly something not right. Prediction, Barry?
I'm going to go for a penman. I've got a good feeling. I think we'll win 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. And what about you, Daz?
I'm going to go 1-1 tonight. That's what I'm
Darren.
Oh, Daz.
Sorry, boy. He's sitting on that fence.
Can I get a spelk?
What about you,
spelk out of your cue.
Sorry.
Kev?
I'll copy Barry. I'll go with 3-1. We win.
All right, Gallagher's playing. See, I told you you can't trust press conferences. What about you, Lee? Prediction?
I just want to know if Bruno's got the baby talker in his back of his shorts.
I might do.
I would say 2-1, but I'm not going to follow suit with everyone else. Let's change. I'm going to go 1-0 Almiron.
1-0 Almiron.
Yeah.
All right. And last but by no means least, Spenny, your prediction?
Goes galore, 4-2 to the mags.
4-2 to the mags. What a great show, lads. Thank you for accompanying us on that. Sorry to those of you who were expecting to watch along. We can't do it tonight, but big thanks to everybody who's joined the fans forum. Enjoy the game tonight. I will be back 6 o'clock tomorrow with Geordie's here. Geordie's there. Until then, that's all from NUFC Matters tonight. Good night.
Good night, lads. Good night.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the game.